Coming up, AfterBuzz TV's after show for Call the Midwife, Season 6, Episode 2.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, welcome, welcome, everybody. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by...
Tamara Berg. Hey, everybody.
And...
Courtney Stewart, hi guys.
All right, we got episode 2. Oh my god, we had explosions, we had naked guys in the background.
Naked poisons.
Yeah.
1962.
All kinds of craziness. Yeah, it's the spring, 62. Yes. So that's where we are, if anybody wasn't sure. That was nice for them to let us know. Okay, first off, we got the continuation of Sister Ursula. Thank you, Caroline, for giving us, coining that phrase, Sister Ursula. Continuing her, priggish dominance of the Nanatus house and deciding, you know, what they need to do, how, and how things should be run.
Her reign of terror.
The reign of terror.
I love it. It's horrible. The conditions, the squalor. How can
dare
you get through this? It's terrible.
Rude.
But I love the reactions on everybody whenever she, you know, she's gotten rid of the TV. Mm-hmm. She's telling them that, you know, that you're not here to be nannies. You're here to be midwives. And what was the other line she says about... creating a dependency.
Yes, you're encouraging dependence that can't be supported.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't go above and beyond. You should just...
God forbid.
Just do the bare minimum. I'm going, how is this going to work?
There are midwives in a small community. Yeah, like,
exactly.
Of course they go above and beyond.
That is
needy.
Yeah, and well, they are the ones that are trying to help people from going through the cracks. They're the ones, they're the last line of defense.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. But... again, she is making the argument, but no, by being more regimented about how you go about your business, you'll be able to serve more. Because instead of just going to the absolute nth degree to help people, you're not helping as many as you
could.
She's
changing the business model from quality to quantity. And we see where that got all of us. Okay, well, you see where McDonald's is right now. And see where everybody that's eating that stuff. It's so sad. This episode was like the impending doom of what's happening in the world right now still.
But we also see how there's the defiance, there's the resistance, shall we say.
What? Because... look at you, John, making it topical. Well,
keep resisting.
I wasn't doing anything of the sort. Don't infer.
I wasn't.
Yeah, okay.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. So they're finding their own way of continuing to serve the best they can in the way that they think they should.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that's great. I mean, because you get some great conflict going on, and Sister Ursula gets to still be...
good tension.
Yeah. And we have that little tete-a-tete between Sister Julie and Stefan. And then they're raiding the you know, when they comes time for it, they have to help Sister Winifred and Sister Julian raiding the cupboards, and then going to Fred and asking for carrots
and
the
potatoes.
Discreetly.
Collecting,
discreetly.
Potatoes. Love that.
So I love that. We were posing. We were wondering, you know, how they were going to continue this, and this is how they decided to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm still not a fan, and still waiting to find out how they're going to turn me to start to understand. So that we still don't know why.
We still don't know why. There still seems to be nothing redeeming in my eyes about her. So.
No, you're still not buying the argument that she's trying to serve the...
No, we got the biscuits last episode. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to feed the little boy and make him... I'm a human. Mm-hmm. And then you come right back and do this. This woman needs food and you don't want to feed the kids? Like, you're horrible. You're still horrible.
And it seemed like the... Go ahead.
No. Yeah. Just the candy moment with Monica Joan, which we actually talked about last episode, but it was in this episode. Because we get confused sometimes. But the candy moment, the flowers moment, you know, it's all of that, like, austerity.
But I also liked, again, that was a great little moment of defiance.
She had another one in her pocket.
Yeah, exactly. They go, see, they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way. Yeah.
But how great, I did, like, also when she popped the...
Candy, bonbon, that's
what it was. Her expression, like, and the difference seeing between Ursula... I shouldn't even say your name.
Ursula,
and Sister Mary Joan.
Yeah, Monica Joan.
Monica Joan. I'm, like, making up names now. Like, the contrast of their faces. And, like, Monica Joan is somebody that, like, always triggers, like, sweet jolliness and love. And how dare you. It literally was, like, her stomping on a little puppy.
That's fine.
Like, that's literally how I felt watching her be mean about some freaking candy. That's, they're really laying it on thin with her.
It's so petty.
It's so
incredibly petty. Yeah. I had an aunt who was 95 years old living in a retirement home. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before.
I don't know.
But my mom was the family connection to, you know, to the retirement home. So they would call my mom as their emergency contact. And they called one day and said, I just want you to know, Ruth has a bottle of wine stashed under her bed.
Oh, my God. Scandal.
To which my mother said, good. I'm glad. And then the next time my mom went, brought her in a replacement bottle.
Because they took them?
I don't remember if they took it or not. But essentially, it was, you know, it was what you were saying.
Yeah.
Let her have the vices. Are 95. You kidding? 95 years old. Yeah. What is, you
know. What is the harm?
Let her have a little nip from
you. Yeah, and it's wine. I mean, it's
not it's like, a bonbon.
Was she getting drunk and like
afraid she's gonna break something?
Yeah, she's like, having a glass of wine. Big deal.
No.
So, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So let them have it. Let them have it.
But I like that they're finding their own ways to keep things, or to keep their level of quality as they see fit.
Yeah. So Phyllis, trying to tread, right? So she's like, you know, you not you need to be on time. You need to get here. I'm sorry, Winifred. I was a little deaf.
didn't quite hear that.
So it never happened.
Yeah. Oh, that's why those things work, though, because we really don't like Ursula.
Yes. So
we
and it's charming.
You need a baddie. You need a baddie.
And it comes from, it doesn't come from a place of being defiant and of being mean and of trying to undermine her, but they think they know better, and they know their people better than she does, obviously, so they're trying to take care and, you know, walk the line and get through it somehow or another so that the best is done for all.
That's great for an audience because we've grown up. We love the sisters, and then you bring the baddie in, so now we get to root against her.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Fan fun for everybody.
Yes, it is.
All right. But we did get introduced to George and Jesse
Marsh.
George and Jesse Marsh. Yep. We the first time we see them, she's making bread and with her mother and kneading dough. And you know, George comes back from work and's like, okay, new family. What's going on here? She's pregnant, of course, and stuff.
Yes.
And we later learn, of course, he's got a job in a factory, and then we get that, and then,
Well,
where do we go from here?
Gotta
go down.
Yeah, so Jesse says, you know, the baby's going to be named after George's dad. Bobby, if it's a boy.
Yes.
And it is a boy, indeed.
Of course it is.
So we find out it's a boy. And so George goes out into the world. He's getting a smallpox vaccination.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
There's a line of them.
And there's a line of people. And he's talking to Sheila.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, I understand your wife's in labor. And he's like, oh, holy smokes, I didn't know
I had no idea.
And
just to give him the shot, though, just to distract him, a little misdirection,
which I love. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
he's like, "Oh, you're sneaky."
Yeah, and she is. Boy, that Sheila.
Boy, sneaky. She is sneaky and cheeky.
Okay, but what I like was that. So they intercut the things. She's delivering the child and stuff, and he obviously doesn't even know she's delivering. Isn't there for that birth.
Clue.
He's working while it's happening, and then of course. We're at the factory, and you know Arthur's there, and Arthur falls, and George helps him up, and my lungs aren't, you know, I can't handle this anymore. Don't worry.
Probably because he's got asbestos in him or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Some cancer.
OSHA has not been there.
Yeah, nope. Exactly. Not at all.
So the explosion occurs while Sheila's walking back from all this and happens, and I go, whoa, you know.
Big pyrotechnics for calling midwife, right?
I know.
That was half of the episode budget right there.
There we go. We got the budget, buildings. We got the explosion, we got it's action-adventure.
It is.
But just prior to that, we got to meet Valerie Dyer in the bar, in the pub, pub. You know, George knows her, and there'll be a drink waiting for you when you get back this stuff. So. And of course, Valerie, which is great.
She hears it.
Yes, she hears it. And she's passing by camera. Would you like to
go ahead? Tell it. Tell what happened.
Watched the episode together. And just as the explosion happened, she's like, "Oh, she goes right into nurse mode. Get do the doom." And Valerie comes up and she goes, "Hey, I'm a nurse. I'm from the."
I'm a nurse.
Yeah. from the war. What the is war, it? What corps?
The war corps.
Yeah, what I can't remember. I have it written down.
So what happens?
The Army Corps
is she shows Queen's up Army on corps. Shows up on screen and yeah. and takes charge and starts to send the guys to go get water. Water. No, call an ambulance. I can't even remember. Yeah, and what happens is,
Tamara just starts crying.
I instantly start crying because if you're a fan of the show, you know that I will cry at anything. Yeah. But for here was the reason why it struck me so hard. Yeah. First of all, it kind of reminded me of China Beach. If anybody remembers that show,
it's a TV show,
incredible American TV show about the Vietnam.
Over a decade ago,
Vietnam War. Yeah. Sorry, and
15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, she was a person in charge at the moment they needed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love seeing the support of women in this show. That's what really touches me, is women supporting women. And so,
Oh my gosh.
I don't know
John.
If you guys saw that, but John totally rolled his eyes.
It's just, you guys are so women. Easy. I just had to do that.
But that was why it touched me so much. And it was like, here's a moment of desperation. And the guys are all confused because they're at work and they don't quite know what to do. And they've just
explosion.
You know, and here is like a voice of reason who's going to help. And, and you know, and she sort of looked angelic,
well,
you know?
Angelic, she also looked heroic. Angelic. There's like a super...
Yeah,
thing. It's like,
yeah. So that's why it hit me. And it's like, Valerie Dyer,
she's
my
there,
new hero.
Exactly
oh, wait.
Yeah, and it's almost like, Valerie Dyer, Queen's Army Corps.
Yes.
It's like... Whoa!
What do you
it
need?
Was, and I loved it. It was great.
It was
a
and
beautiful
Sheila,
moment.
Sheila, you know, attend everybody. And again, go ahead.
So when Valerie goes in and so they go in and
before
start attending
go
to.
In,
oh, go ahead.
She says, "I'm going in."
Yeah,
Sheila says, "I'm going in." The guy says, "No, you can't get in." And she goes, "I'm going in." And Valerie goes, "I'm going with you."
Support your
ladies.
Also, like. Totally yes. goosebump moments, right?
Well, except first responders, they're going.
First responders, I get it, but I was like, really, Sheila?
Yeah.
This building is still on fire and you pregnant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I
but
get
again,
it, but I was so like, no.
Yeah, which I thought was great because, like, you know, she's in her mind. We don't get to, she doesn't have the internal conversation.
She's not
or at least
thinking.
We don't hear it, but, you know, she's a mother. She's soon to be another, I mean, a mother
again.
And I've got to go in there to help.
I got to help.
And of course, Sheila, Valerie with all her training. Yeah, I'm in.
Yes.
So, and that was cool.
So the two women are there with the two men, with Arthur and George. Mm-hmm. And the image that I loved so much from this was Valerie gets behind George and is cradling him, right?
I was so done.
Yeah. And just, you know, because that was again, I learned things from this show. God forbid I should ever be in a situation like that, but that's where you want to be. Because that's what they do.
Yes.
That's, you know, when they're helping these women have babies. You know, it's cradling, it's holding, it's reassuring. You're going to be okay. And he's commenting with great alarm that he
can't see.
And his face was
hamburger. Melting off.
Yeah.
And again, then the other part of the budget was for the makeup, because that was
impressive.
And I had to go through the rest of the episode.
Exactly. I've been watching Babies Getting Born on this show for quite some time. Yeah. I have never been as squeamish as I was watching the burn
victims.
I don't know what it is about the burn, but I was, and when she was giving him CPR and she had
the cloth
over it, but then once she came up and you saw the blood on the cloth, like it was, I don't know, it took,
it was a really effective scene.
Yes.
It was really effective.
You have the two of them. It was great.
Fantastic.
Just, you know, nurses doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the fact that she had the war experience and all that other stuff, and the way she was, Valerie was talking to him and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
It was really very well done.
And I don't remember at what point Valerie later on. I guess she talks about how she'll never get used to hearing the men screaming.
Yeah.
And I just,
another.
For
all right, so he's obviously has to go to the hospital.
Arthur dies.
Arthur dies, unfortunately. Arthur meets his demise.
At that moment is when his baby's being born. Is that right?
No,
that's
what I think they intercut that. So,
yeah.
Right.
So, and as soon as he says he can't see, I go, oh my God, he's never going to see his kid.
Yep. Just, like, thanks, called the midwife.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's where we're going today.
He was so happy excited. He's having his boy.
Oh, man.
And now we will never see him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
that's rough.
So another Valerie moment that I want to talk about is when afterwards they're, you know, kind of debriefing. Sheila's getting the cut on her hand fixed by Dr. Turner. And Valerie's there saying, my mother is not going to believe where I am right now when I tell her. Because I remember...
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and
see you biking
Mrs.
around.
Flanagan was going to have a baby, or Mrs. Whatever was going to have a baby, or my cousin was having a baby, and off would come the sisters on their bikes with big black bags.
Their cage.
Yeah. We thought the babies were in the bag.
And they literally delivered the baby.
Yeah.
Why would a kid not think that? Right. I think that's brilliant.
So right. That makes sense. Yes. And I bet you that came from a real story. I bet you somebody really thought that.
Yep. I bet you.
Because they delivered the babies. Mm-hmm.
I'm having a little more brandy. It makes sense. You know.
Yeah, I thought that was a great story. I'm so glad they put that in there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And funny, endearing. And you know that story has, you know, everybody, so many kids have that story.
If it wasn't true, then I think it's Harriet Warner, who wrote the episode. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's absolutely brilliant. So adorable.
Yeah. So obviously, it's a great scene with them. Anyway, going back to George now in the hospital. He's, in, you know, he's got the eyes bandaged and everything like
Without
that.
Without me sight, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
He says. Ouch. He thinks.
He thinks, exactly. And of course, Jesse, now a new mother and a husband who is in the hospital, isn't working clearly. And the prospects of how we're going to manage, and then you've got all the financial troubles because she has her mother, her mother's feeling guilty now because I'm adding to these problems.
She goes, "No,
you kidding me?
Do with it?
Yeah, what we can do without you." But you still got to figure it out, you know, because it's not like they've got anything in the bank. They're living day to day.
There ain't no workers' comp either.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, then she's going, the best thing for George is for him to see you, and she goes to see him, and that does not go well.
That doesn't go well.
Yeah, she doesn't. He doesn't want to. He turns away when she kisses her.
Because he literally can't see the baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want.
I won't be a father, not like this.
Yeah, and she's saying, I don't want to be a mother like this either, but we got to make do.
But you're alive, and I'll take you deaf, broke, or blind. I love the bones of you, the very heart of you. Whatever, right?
Stupid.
It was fabulous.
Exactly.
And I love that she, stood up to him and didn't falter at any point.
No,
like, because they could have had her in that first one be sort of like, oh, no, what am I going to do? But at no point was she in her weakness.
Well, they said, who was it that said you got to... keep going. I forget who it was.
Sister Winifred and Sister Julianne. Sister Winifred's the one who delivered the baby.
All right. So then he finally does bring the baby. Or does that happen right away?
So next what happens is Winifred and Julianne are pilfering from the kitchen.
Well, right.
An onion sandwich because they want to help the family. Oh, because the power went out.
Houston will have a problem.
And she says,
We're a little behind.
There's always a dawn, and then the lights go out. Exactly. And I'm like, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. And then that's when they realize, they got to help out. She, of course, Jesse doesn't want to take it because it's charity.
And before that, Ursula sees them pilfering from the kitchen, and they get caught.
They have that big argument. And it's like, oh, my God.
She has a baby, and you don't want her to eat.
Yeah.
Because we're eating so high on the hog here at Nanata's house.
Yeah, but I thought it was a great argument. They say, look, when they have, they give to us.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why it's...
Thank you. I loved that.
That's why there's no redeeming qualities about this woman right now. Because she's insane. It does not make any sense at all. Because she also... She had made the comment, something to the effect of, we don't know when it'll be great for us. I can't remember exactly what she said in response to it. But it was very selfish. It wasn't like... And that's when they came back with when they have... they give to us and all of that. And I was just like, see, this woman is not getting
And
anything.
We've seen that so many times. Do you remember when I had too many kumquats? It wasn't kumquats. Yeah. But it was like something. They were like, oh, for God's sake, somebody eat an apple because we're so, not apples though. But yeah. And you know, the other thing about Ursula saying, we don't want to set up a continuum of dependency.
Yes.
But it's interdependent is the thing.
Yes.
And that's exactly what that is speaking to of the when they have extra, they bring to us. Because we all support each other. That's the definition of community. Thank you.
Community. It takes a village, right?
Yes. So. Yes.
Apparently, roll your eyes, John. She didn't get taught that.
Yeah,
she didn't get taught that.
See,
at her.
She had gone to South Africa, and
but she went to the Pope or whoever to start out, and she just didn't learn nothing in that Bible.
And Winifred says, "This isn't the way we do things," and that's when Sister Julianne gets the carrots from Fred.
Yeah, that's when she gets carrots.
Thank you. On the QT.
Yeah. Okay. So, but part of that, yeah, on the QT. But then, in addition to this storyline, we have the aftermath, because we want to they're investigating. They have some inquest, a coroner's inquest, I believe, mm-hmm. on how Arthur died.
Because Arthur died.
Exactly. And Sheila's going to have to testify. Valerie's going to have to testify because they were there for that. And so we have all that happening while we still have George in the hospital, not wanting to see his child, wanting to even be part of that.
Right.
And Sheila's obviously, she's nervous about all this. And I guess, it's like, why are you nervous about
it? Why are you so nervous?
But, it's an authority. You have to, it's a big deal. And, I'm sure they're not used to that. They haven't seen Law and Order every day for 12 years.
It's true. It's a much bigger deal
in 62.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
And she's popping Rennies again.
Yes. Not Benny's,
right.
But Rennies.
Right. And we're all, of course, Doc Turner is all concerned about her.
Don't work yourself up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And she has that nice moment out in the waiting
hallway
to testify mm-hmm. with Valerie about that. And so that's there's good. And then she's in there and she's doing her best and she's testifying. And then she wants to say more. And I just love that this guy, the coroner or whomever,
or the judge or whatever, magistrate.
Exactly, was part of the officiate that's doing the inquest. Like, no, we've heard enough. Yeah. And I go, yeah, that's about bureaucracy, It's like, and you're going, he doesn't really want to know because then they might have to do something about
exactly.
This. And I'm going, what? You can't just listen to what she has to say. It's going to take all 2 minutes.
Well, he shut her up when she apologized to the wife grieving in the dark.
Yeah, you're here to address me. I'm going, really?
You can't. She can't apologize.
Shut up! And I can't. Why is there anybody saying, "Hey,
you soulless people"?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this is the beginning of having, OSHA and safety requirements and things like that. Because she talks about the dreadful lack of things that could have helped.
Right.
If we had water, if there were safety glasses, if there were probably well marked exits, and
if we knew who was working there that day.
Exactly. If there was even a stinking first aid kit.
Yeah.
Working men are fodder.
It's so interesting that those things had to get thought about to get that. Like, nobody thought about it before.
Well, they are.
It's always interesting.
What's
how
the
it
word?
Works out.
They're useful at the time, but they're cast
disposable.
Away. Yeah, they're disposable.
Mm-hmm.
Stay up.
Yeah. Should we not be concerned? Should you not be concerned with those living with its impact?
Yeah. Nice line. No, we shouldn't. Sorry.
Step down. We're only here to find out why.
Yeah.
And again, shocking, painful, and difficult parallel to see with current modern times about how people are expendable, how the bottom line is the only thing that matters. And thank goodness at least we've made progress in certain areas, and this was one of the places where it began.
Yeah. So, and Valerie testified as well and stuff. And then the culmination of that is that they decide, okay, maybe they should have eye protection. Fine.
Okay,
whatever.
Fine.
Before, the reason why is because Sheila goes to George, because she doesn't think she gets anywhere. And because she has that moment with her husband saying, I did my best, but it's not going
to
change.
He's like, I told you not to get. And she's like, I'm angry.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I'm tired and I'm angry.
Yeah, and I'm angry.
And she. And
you know what happens when women are tired and angry?
Boy, do I.
They protest. I'm just saying.
They march. All right.
They march all over the world on every continent.
She's giving tea to George. And he's in the hospital, and we notice all along he starts to smell things better, and he's
lonely.
Lonely. Yeah, because he did that moment with him we see him in the hospital, and he hears something he expects.
He hears a woman walking.
Jesse's coming. This is after they had their fight. Mm-hmm. He expects it's her. He's anxious for. He's happy, and then it's not her. And it's like, we get that nice little moment. And the next time we see him, that's the cup of tea, and we think, it's not Jesse. It's Sheila, and she's making. Request of him, please come testify. And he, of course, doesn't want anything to do with it because I'm not in this state because he's got his pride.
Yep.
And I'm not,
Dudes and their pride.
That pride builds bridges, my friend.
Yeah.
Destroys them.
And destroys
breaks them down, too.
Builds and destroys.
Yeah, I didn't say it was perfect. But, of course, he does make the trip and he's wheeled in and they're ready to take him in. And he goes, no, I'm gonna walk in.
Let
me get that nice moment. She's helping him and stuff. And then I thought the helping him in was enough.
Right.
And then
he smells his wife's perfume.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. Yeah. It's like, okay. And he's, of course, very happy that she's there. And she's there to support him and all that other stuff. So it's like, okay, they're going to be fine. So And he says this thing, and then we find out, of course, that it's going to result in eye protection, water, and all. OSHA starts. The beginning of
OSHA begins.
Yeah, I don't even know if they have. I'm sure they have something similar, but I don't think it's called OSHA.
Caroline, researcher Caroline.
Let us know.
Occupational Safety Hazard Association, something.
Yeah, and then he goes back to the hospital, and there is the moment where everyone's waiting around.
And so, what do you think? Are you thinking, this is going to happen? You think you're going to
be
going to get the happy
moment?
I thought it would have been too much if they let him get his sight back.
Yeah.
I mean, his face got blown off. he was in the build. Maybe if he had been out, that would have been too much.
One of the moments that I found really sad was when Jesse said, "I fell in love with those eyes." But then at least a little part of that was kind of redeemed when the bandages came off and she could still see his eyes. Yeah. And, you know, even though they weren't working for him, she could still connect with him that way. And he was finding different ways to connect with her through, you know, hearing things and smelling things. Yeah, you know,
he held the baby, and the baby's called home.
That's true.
Health and safety.
Yeah.
It's just called health and safety in England.
Oh. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline.
You're on top of it.
So,
You're not very drunk, are you?
Haven't had enough brandy yet.
Here's my last tip.
Sorry, I got stuck on health and safety, but
him not being able to see and her connecting and him developing his other senses.
Yeah, and he doesn't see, but just the way he's holding the child and smelling the child and stuff, you know they're going to be all right.
And what he says when the bandages come off, he says, "I've got nothing, Doc." Mm-hmm. And she says, "We've got everything else." Mm-hmm. So, like you said, they're going to be okay.
That was nice. It was a good. I thought it was a well structured storyline and it was extremely effective. And I was
agreed.
Especially when you smell that baby, because who doesn't understand that newborn
home,
smell
new
the baby's baby? Yeah, exactly.
So it was so hard when he rejected her early.
Yeah, I was like, dude,
it's your baby. Just had it.
We'll manage, and we will be grateful.
We will be grateful,
she says.
Yes. Another running theme: grateful.
Yep. Right, kindness, compassion, and gratitude. Yep.
All right, but along with that, I should say the counterpoint to that is the Mr. and Mrs. Reed storyline, because that's the other pregnancy we get to go through. Little people and dwarfism.
Yes.
And first pregnancy for her, which is, difficult. It's wrought with some difficult outcomes, and what are you smiling at, Tamara? Are you going to be able to share?
It's private. I mean, if you look at Twitter, you'll see, but it's private.
And everybody's telling her that she shouldn't do this, and she's been. You know, we find out later that according to her doctor, I should say Dr. Turner finds out by looking at the notes that she's been informed that it should be terminated, and she's going to have nothing to do with it because
it's really interesting.
Yeah,
that they wanted her, they terminate because they seem to know that the variety of outcomes that were possible. So it's interesting that they would suggest termination
on the chance,
because they knew it could be stillborn, it could be born with dwarfism, or it could also be born as a healthy, normal sized child. So I just was like, wow, they really advised to get rid of it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, that's what they did. Okay. So, of course, and
She replies, "Don't ask me to give up."
Right. Because she feels him and hears, all that kind of stuff. So, and she's extremely brave, but, she's also just drawn to let this thing come into the world.
Play out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And her husband is not so. Yeah, he's worried about both.
He's worried about losing her.
So Patsy comes over to make sure that everybody understands all the risks and the possibilities that can happen.
Well, the first time she's just talking about, talking about the bad thing. Forgot to talk about the joy.
That's what I was getting to. Perhaps I forgot to speak about the joy.
But I thought it was interesting when they brought him in, too, because Patsy's reaction is like, I don't normally see this. She got right cool, back to nurse mode and stuff and just started. But I just loved the way it was done because, it's odd.
Yes.
It's unusual.
Nothing.
Okay.
Having fun.
But then when she gets her bearings back, Patsy's right on it. And when she's talking to her at her home and she sees the way she is around the kitchen and that's just, this is just a normal mom.
Wanting her baby.
Yeah, and then it just changes from her from then on. And then she goes into countermand again of Sister Ursula's wishes. She's going to be there for this family from, you know, from to the nth degree.
Yeah.
That's it. We decided, you know. So I also like the moment when she was taking care of Mrs. Reed, and Mrs. Reed comes home and she's listening. Would you like to listen? Mm-hmm. And he, you know, puts
his ear to her. Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't remember seeing that before.
It's been a long time if they have done it. It's been a long time.
And there was a little moment, which I thought was great. He has his hand on the listening device, whatever it's called, and she moves it away because clearly that's going to, you know, if he moves his hand, that's going to influence. Yeah. And that was just a little thing, and I just liked that. It was a great little moment.
I didn't notice it until you said that, but of course.
Great little moment. Aww, so,
they're so cute.
Yeah.
And happy BM.
So and the weirdest thing, when she, is it, she calls? Yeah, she calls because her water breaks.
Eveline picks up the phone.
And Ursula.
She's gone into early labor at 37 weeks.
Yeah, and she doesn't pass on the call. She just says, "Call. Yeah, we'll get yourself to the hospital. Call an ambulance."
Exactly.
And she goes by the book, so to speak, which is not the way that
Patsy,
we've learned a lot
Patsy's
of stuff
gonna.
Has done in the past.
Yes.
But she's, you know, trying to run her ship the way she sees fit. And when, of course, when Patsy finally finds out, she's like, "What?
You know, what? You didn't?
That's my patient,
that's
for
right.
God's sake!"
And she barely makes it to the hospital before.
And saying, "Consequences be damned."
Consequences be damned.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be
there.
Professional,
there will be professional consequences.
I need a little more brandy for this.
And now, before she gets to the hospital, they're saying, "Okay, we got to prep her, get her into theater."
Yes.
So they're taking her away, and she gets her just in time. And Delia brings her in, which was nice. Yes. That's cool.
Well, because Delia's at the hospital.
Yeah. So, thankfully, she sees her beforehand to calm her down.
Calm her down.
And, you know, that was
because everybody needed calming in that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Including me.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah.
But I mean, right. People are talking about this, and I'm talking about it. That you know, the like devotion,
right?
And the you know, just the Patsy, I'm talking about
right.
Patsy, and her, like, I'm going to be there for her.
Right.
Yeah.
From leaving Nanata's house to arriving there to making sure Delia shows her in. They only have a second. I am committed to this patient, this pregnancy, and whatever happens. Like, it doesn't end right now, and it doesn't end in an hour.
Just
it doesn't.
She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, trying to grasp. This is kind of what they're... But I want somebody to talk to Sister Ursula about this. The kind of person that makes a great nurse is the kind of person that can't turn it off. They can't just say, "Oh, let's stop here."
That's the
right.
point.
It's like,
right.
Okay, how do you not
You're
see
missing
that?
Missing the point.
And would you want somebody that could say, "Oh, sorry, my shift is over. I'm done now."
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Is that the person you want in the health profession? Is that the kind?
And yeah, and you find them both in the world, and you know, the ones who
that's
are
called a doctor though.
Oh, the nurse is supposed to like coax
they are the ones who hold it together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, side note, I want to mention because it's been on BBC and it will be on PBS. The case notes, the case book. It's the Dr. Turner's case book, which is an hour special.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Stephen McGann, who plays Dr. Turner, I've only seen half of it so far, but he talks to a colleague of Jennifer Wirth, who wrote the book that the series is based on. And it's pretty incredible talking about how, you know, now midwives are completely different than they were 40 years ago, 50 years ago. But, you know, that devotion and that commitment to their patient, talking about being there through the pregnancy, through the delivery, and through the 14 days after the baby was born. And then in some cases, we see it on the show, you know, you're bringing your three-year-old with you to clinic when you've got, you know, your second baby coming. And it you know, just creates this whole village, this, you know, community and opportunity for people to support each other, be supported, support each other. It's a really beautiful thing. So if our viewers haven't seen it, look for the Dr. Turner's casebook.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's based on a book that came out, because we talked about it on the show last year. There was a sort of documentary book that was a companion to the series, and so now they've done an hour-long special for it. So, look for it.
Check that out.
I stuck a little news in there accidentally.
Yeah, way to go.
Because I've been drinking brandy. But it's fascinating. It is.
So we find out, obviously, well, we don't know right away. They don't share it right away. We go, oh my God, you know, and then Patsy happening? Is Delia. She's talking to Delia. What's going to happen? What happened? And she even talks to the doctor. Yes, Tamara.
Well, he's concerned that she's not going to come out of the hospital alive.
Sure, yeah.
And so he's waiting, Mr. Reed, and Tom arrives to accompany him, right? During the surgery, which was, you know, reminding us that, you know, there's all these elements to this show, that there's the religious community of Nanada's house, and then there is the secular group, and you know how they intersect and how they support each other. And I was reading comments again online about, you know, why people love the show so much, and it's because it hits so many of those different areas. And even my good friend, who is an atheist, loves the show. And you know, there are so many places to love, so many things to love about the show, because it hits so much of what, you know, any person can really relate to. Anyway, just wanted to talk about what you're
Brandy
much, Tam. I'm actually following my notes. I want to be very clear.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
So Patsy and Delia, they're wondering, he talks to the doctor, and we still don't know. And so she goes in to see Mrs. Reed. Finally get the news, and I'm going, oh, please don't have the dead baby. Don't have the dead baby. Isn't it enough that he's blind?
I mean, they showed the C-section, which was...
Oh, good Lord! Yeah,
no, right. It's like, okay.
Right?
Again,
that's
another birth.
C-section.
Haven't seen that.
I haven't seen. I'm just... The incision was vertical.
Yeah.
Not horizontal.
Yeah,
that's how they used to do them.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was easier for the doctor to do it that way. Doing it horizontally is much easier.
That's much more modern,
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't that.
The baby popped out.
Yeah, but it was the way that he retrieved.
He just reached in.
It's like,
boom.
That was like he was putting on a puppet or something.
But I felt very... I got to see my godson born by C-section.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're so brave.
It was... I'm weird. So I was fascinated. But
were you in the room?
I was in the room. Because my good friend, you know, her husband, she thought he'd be too emotional. Her mom doesn't speak English very well. So she was like, Courtney, you're not super emotional.
You're a rock.
You love surgery.
And I was like, sure, okay.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Like, it was cool to see it happen. But, like, the force and aggressiveness by which they sort of reach in the body is very accurate.
Surgery.
And it's just amazing to me.
For those who don't know, it looks barbaric.
It does. It does.
And they're just doing business, and I'm going, what, you know,
there's no
gentility about it,
but I guess you gotta like get in there, how I felt when I first saw forceps.
You gotta give it up, so you gotta get it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was weird. And again, it was like, okay, I haven't seen that birth,
definitely had not seen
thanks very much. It's like, every how many time. Different ways, exactly, every yeah. time.
Every
it's
time.
Like, I'm wanting to know the writer's room, they're going, okay, which way haven't we shown it? We gotta come up with a different way.
How can we pop it out?
Exactly. Yeah. So, wow, okay. Okay, we finally learned, of course, that, you know, when she goes in to see...
No, Patsy arrives and says, let me break the news.
Yeah. So
because she's pretty sure it's going to be bad. Because you don't break good news.
Well, as she thought. But then when she goes in, she says, you have a daughter.
They were tricking us.
And I don't know how to say this.
Forgive the term.
Normal size.
Normal size.
And she goes, you mean big?
Don't you mean big?
It's like...
As a matter of fact, I do. Comparatively speaking,
so
yes.
I know.
Yes.
So, but then that was great. This is the turn. I was not expecting this turn. She starts to feel guilty. And, like, I can't.
I'm not up to the task, essentially. Yeah.
My arms are too short.
Too short. And it's like, and then, of course, Patsy's line, which just killed me, is like, you carried the baby.
You carried the baby.
Months.
You can handle it, girl.
You can handle it. Exactly. But just the fact that she was now, because all along she was so brave. No, I'm doing, you know, and then to have it happen, have it be there, and then it's like, oh my God, I don't think I'm ready for what is she. And then she's saying, what if she thinks we're peculiar?
Right.
And those, it's like, wow, I was not expecting any, because for all along I was just, you know, she was so sure.
Yeah.
And now not. And I was just, I was not expecting that turn.
Yeah. Shout out again to the writers,
because
my experience with little people, the little person community, has been a lot on television, because there's the new reality series about Little Women LA, and it's all over whatever, but they, like, one of the girls who was on Dancing with the Stars in America, has had two children, and, like, they all have those things that I just never would have thought about or considered. You get a normal sized child, and then they grow up and outgrow you when they're toddlers. And
of course, this experience with Mrs. Reed is helping Patsy with her own thing, because when she says that, what if she thinks we're peculiar, and Patsy's saying things like, well, sometimes we just have to do what we're most afraid of.
And what was she most afraid of?
Of course, the whole thing. She gets the letter from Dad. We already know Dad's have a degenerative disease, and now she has this letter, and she's not reading it. And Delia's trying to get her to read it, and it's just sitting there. And, well, maybe if I forget about it, it'll go away.
Because that always works really well.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, classic. She's more concerned about her patients than herself, and that's one reason why you dive in to help your patients, and it'll be there to the end.
Yeah, distraction.
I'm
just cleaning.
I can control. That I can do. I know I'm not going to be able to end this.
I have no experience with that, John. I don't know what you're talking about.
In her mind, she doesn't think she can handle it. She even says to Delia that I'm not ready. I can't. I don't know
how. But she had such a beautiful breakdown when she was like, "I'm good at this. I'm great at being a nurse. I'm great at being this. I'm not good at loss. I can't do that."
Right, with Sister Monica Joan, who I mean, each cast member has such incredible facets of compassion, and I love how that one was revealed in that moment.
She read the letter.
I've committed a crime. I read your letter.
Yes, exactly. And that was, I just love that between the two of them. Monica Joan, when she does stuff like that, I'm just going
to... She's just like the bottle of love that floats around in Nanaka's house.
The crazy, nutty, sugar addicted.
Who makes you a little nuts when she starts talking about astrology.
But that's why she's terrific that way, because she's so layered and textured and stuff, and you just go, she's drive you crazy, but look
she
at you.
She shows up every time.
That's so human. And the fact that she said you can handle it. And she reads the letter, of course, and then she's going to go.
Patsy says, I closed my heart to him.
When she tells the story about how she lost her mom and her sister and always left with her dad, and because she lost her mom and her sister, she closed her heart off to her father. And I was going, what a great backstory.
Don't even talk to me about fathers and daughters. Don't even.
And I thought it was, because we've learned so much about that story, her backstory with the kid, her family and all that other stuff, and that, she comes from that war and being a
prison camp.
Prison camp POW. And all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then to tie it all together, that she closed her heart off to a dad, and that's one of the reasons why there's all that guilt and shame about doing that and then not being able to go back and not thinking that... she can do anything because she can't make him better. And she goes, but you can help him.
You can ease him along his way.
Because that's what they do. Ease people along their paths.
Yeah, whether you're coming into the world or going out.
And we've seen both so many times. Yeah. Yep. And you're all your father asks for.
Oh, and she just closed her eyes. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, that one was okay, and so you got all that happening, and then you have her with Delia.
Yeah.
And how are they going to do this? How are they going to survive? How are they going to...
Wait, sorry, just one thing before that. Sister Ursula says, I thought I was clear that there were consequences to what you do, and she says, I wanted to go above and beyond. And
that's why I came here.
Exactly. That was my mission. Yeah. That was my ministry. That was my reason for being here.
And if I can't...
Here's my money, and
I'll
save
you the time.
Bye.
Yeah. So, and it was, it was well crafted again, because she's now you've given her. There's nothing for her to stay for except the Delia thing.
Yeah, and everybody wants that "I quit" moment.
Yeah,
especially with
take
Ursula.
It and shove it up here. Exactly. She's awful. And she touched the coins when she left them on the table. Yeah. I was like, is she really going to?
Yeah,
she
is.
Really did.
She did.
They want me to hate this woman. she didn't even feel. She touched the coins. I don't know if she actually grabbed them, and I think they cut. But I was like, really? You touched the coins, lady? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's over.
Well, they could be used to better serve the...
That should have been her wake-up moment. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You needed to be there for that woman and that baby in that moment.
No, we're going to hold that. We're going to suspend that as long as we can.
You bet.
Exactly. But, okay, so getting back to the Delia thing. So there, she's going, how are we going to do this? How are we going to survive? How are we going to have this? And I love what she said, because we're gonna write, we're going to wait,
everybody
else. We're
going
to love.
Yes.
Everybody else. And it's like,
yep.
Damn it.
And crediting Patsy with, you've made the bravest decision that you could. Clearly incredibly painful for both of them. Mm-hmm. But it gives Delia an opportunity to love the decision that she made as opposed to hating it, right?
Exactly.
Because there's nobility in it.
Right. There could have been, it would have been a much more difficult
breakup.
Leaving. A way to handle it. But now we see, you have to go. You have to.
It's your dad.
Because if you don't, what chance are we going to have? How much are you going to resent the fact that you didn't go?
Right. And to go back to the Christmas episode, let's make this moment without choice being a powerful one.
Right.
Like, we have to do, have to do this. You have to make this choice. Yeah. There is no other way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Make it something powerful and make it be something that is worthy.
So, and then of course, Phyllis had seen,
She caught a peek.
Yeah, she caught a peek. And it was kind of, that could have been interpreted many different ways.
Right.
I actually laughed in the moment because I was like, wait, it's still a secret to the whole house?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was still a secret because it seems so obvious, but no.
But Phyllis, smart, and then the fact, what she says to her with the, Phyllis of all people, it's like,
Spanish poetry.
Exactly. But remember, she took the Spanish courses and stuff like that.
Of course I remember.
But what I thought was when it's Phyllis that sees them, I'm going, ew, this could go a lot of different ways,
I never thought it would. But I thought it might. The only like gray area was I thought it might torment Phyllis a little bit in having to keep the secret.
Yeah,
I never thought she would give out the secret or
I didn't think that.
Or persecute them in any way.
Yeah. If anything, I thought she might have had one of her own. So in terms of the secret,
okay.
Yeah,
but the way she is with her in that hallway there, and they're passing, she almost touches her, and then this, the awkward but incredibly loving gesture of reciting the poem and.
Right, the pain of loving you, the pain it costs to love, and I believe it is always worth it.
Yeah. Stupid.
Just stupid. Who comes up with this? Stupid.
Idiotic. Yeah. So,
that one got me, man. When I saw that one, I was like, whoa, they just were flowing in that moment.
I just wrote down.
You're not as cold-hearted as we think.
Here's the thing.
You can.
I wish I'd never seen the show, because I could have easily just stayed in my cold-hearted, leave me alone, you're on your own. I could have been my island, but no, I had to be watch this damn show, and now it's open my heart.
The estrogen fest that the Call the Midwife is.
It's just wrong.
You're just a bucket of love
now. No, and I hate it. Drives me crazy. And it works every time. It's like, damn it!
Yeah.
So, okay.
You can thank Courtney, and you can thank me for that.
That's right.
Garcia Lorca is the poet that she... I tried to find the poem, and if I do, I'll tweet it out.
But what I know,
if anybody else finds it, tweet it to me.
It's not just the but the fact that she used poetry.
Poetry. Spanish poetry.
Yeah, because first of all, coming from Phyllis, I mean, it just added so much to Phyllis, because I knew she wanted to, we know she's learning Spanish, and remember when she had her little, can I use the word dalliance, if I can say, so there is a romantic side and a romantic heart to her and stuff like that. The fact that she used poetry, I thought was great, because again, it was just, I wasn't expecting poetry, and she had it memorized, but then they cut it with, I'll give you the book, if you could have it back 2 weeks.
I so appreciated that, didn't you?
It's so great, because that's her.
Yes.
And because otherwise we would not get up off the sofa after watching this episode, because we'd be crying in a puddle for 45 minutes.
Thank God they cut it with that. I was going,
kudos to the writers. Kudos to the directors. I love it so much. I do. I was so appreciative. I'm so glad you brought it up, because I was so appreciative of that moment.
And the other thing I was really appreciative is at the end there, when they're having to say goodbye and they're all saying
out front.
Out front and everything like that. And I just was hit by how much they had, Patsy and Delia had to put on such a brave face for everybody. They couldn't say goodbye the way they wanted to. Because they couldn't.
And it was upsetting, too, because they had missed their kiss inside the room because it got interrupted.
So there's this whole thing, and I was just, how bizarre that is. Because I just go, that's right. You can't do that.
No.
And still today, in certain areas, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I just was, that's just so strange. And they, but again, the way they presented it was like, Yeah, okay, yeah.
This is the reality.
That's it, yeah. That's the reality of it. And too bad, sorry, you don't get your goodbye.
Right.
Because that's the way it is. Wow, damn.
One of the other beautiful moments at the end was when Mrs. Reed had the ladies over at her place nice. Afterwards with all the prams and everyone having tea.
And, you know, because we had the moment earlier with the woman about, the, you know, you make your own clothes. Obviously I make my own clothes. What are you thinking?
Because, they don't sell them in my size.
Exactly. But we had that nice moment, you know, with that there. And then that got doubled up at the end there where she's actually part of the community rather than everybody looking like, oh, what is the weirdo with over
that?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice, too. And again, don't say it, just have it be.
Just show it.
Yeah, yeah, so nicely done.
So
nicely
lovely.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
This is a one hanky for me. I thought it was incredibly beautiful.
One hanky, right.
What?
It was not one hanky for
me. What? No. What? What are you talking about? You weren't there. What you were. Yeah.
Anyway, I've said everything I needed to say.
What, I have some news.
Okay, great. Let's go. News.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so the characters are dropping like flies. We got Trixie in Africa. Yeah. We've got
Patsy off to Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong. We've got Sister Mary Cynthia in
somewhere.
Exiled somewhere. All right. So we have it on good authority that we have not seen the end of Patsy. Ah. She will return at some point in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And like Delia, we are going to have to wait it out. Trixie.
Yeah.
I believe she's going to be in next episode.
Oh, okay, great.
She was in the clips.
Yeah.
The coming up.
So keep your eyes peeled. Never know where she might pop up. Okay, Bryony Hannah, Sister Mary Cynthia, the last time we saw her, will she return? Is she still with the order? Has she left for good? We don't know.
Oh, really? They're not
We same? Don't know. I'm sticking by my prediction from last episode, though, that she is going to be at the center of the Sister Ursula, Sister Julian.
Okay.
Challenge.
I hope it's not because it's a tragic incident.
Stop it!
Don't even say it!
I mean, I shouldn't.
You are the dark cloud. You are!
Sister Julian, blames herself already for her situation.
Yes.
If Mary Cynthia's gone wherever that woman sent her to and commits suicide or does something terrible,
She would never do that, though.
You don't know.
We don't know. She's out of her mind.
I know her so well.
She's out of her mind.
We're Facebook friends. We're not. I don't even know what I'm saying.
But how horrible would Sister Julian feel if something tragic happened to Mary Cynthia while she's gone, and that would be a serious conflict with her and Eveline.
That would be incredibly painful drama. We would probably...
I'm scared.
The sixth series, or season, as we call it in America, is off to a strong start. They've been teasing us about what is to come. Emerald Fennell, who plays Patsy, says there is a surprising amount of nudity in this series.
Well, we already saw the naked guys.
We didn't
talk about that. Yeah,
naked boys.
The posing
model,
the model in the background with his shirt
on, nudes,
and the music is getting better. But yeah, a surprising amount of nudity.
Okay.
So we have that to look forward to.
Well, we see a lot of naked babies.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I don't think that's what she means. No. You don't call naked babies nude.
Right. They're just babies.
Okay, and so from the Mirror UK, I just want to say that the previous five seasons have averaged more than 10 million viewers, which is an incredible achievement, especially when you consider that it, according to the Mirror, only targets half of the population.
there's probably a lot of guys that watch it that don't admit it.
They do. So, and then one of the things they were saying was imagine if the protests that would come out if the BBC dared to call the midwife, they'd make the weekend's Women's March look like Donald Trump's inauguration.
Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Wow.
According to the Mirror UK.
That was amazing.
I have a couple of shout outs to Caroline, of course. Thank you very much for a researcher. We're doubling your salary again this year.
She's Anna, making a killing.
Also, Anna.
Anna, yes.
Eden, Becky, Chemo, and Julia. Thank you all.
Awesome.
Make comments on the YouTube page. I check them. Also, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on
Facebook. You are the reason we do this.
No, it's so true.
I have
to be convinced of it every time. And then Tamara goes, look at all these people.
All right. You can't leave your fans, John.
Now, one of these days, we're coming to Europe. Yeah. We're going to come to England. happen.
It's gonna happen.
And we're gonna be mobbed by our crowd of five. What we'll do is we'll all have tea together with brandy in it.
All right, before we close, I'm gonna talk about we think they set up Valerie to take over, to become?
Thank you for saying that. She's going to be a new midwife.
Is she really?
I think she is.
Okay, so you haven't read anything in the news
about that? No. I don't know that. No, okay. I don't know it at all.
Because they certainly set it up.
Yes, completely. Yeah. She's like, I need to do something.
Yeah, right.
Like,
while I'm waiting, I'm hanging out at the pub.
I was surprised we didn't see her in this episode in some form, but...
She's got to come back.
Plus because we've got... Oh, Chummy. We didn't talk about Chummy. So
she's gone for good, right?
I think she kind of is. Like, there were comments that she was coming back and then she wasn't. Miranda Hart. Probably not coming back. Right. Chummy was supposed to come back. People are really heartbroken about it. So we need someone new to come in. I can't imagine Valerie is going to fill the exact type of role because she was a great comedic.
She's
going to
be the one that gets rid of Ursula in a very accidental way.
What? No, arsenic and old lace.
All
what?
Kinds of crazy stuff happening. Well, they did say they were increasing this game.
Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I just have
one question.
Yeah.
For the creators, the casting people, whoever, where are y'all getting all these babies? I want to know. Is that a normal thing in the UK? Because casting babies is not easy.
No,
you need
twins.
And there's all kind of rules. And they have... Lots and lots of babies, and they're young babies.
A lot of
timing
involved.
I was talking about how I had an orange bigger than one of those babies today.
They're legit newborns.
Yeah,
they're not using the raggedy robots that Grey's Anatomy
Some of them are robots, and some of them are actual babies, and the mother is literally inches away from. So props to them because they've been doing an amazing job.
You're an island. How are you finding all these babies?
They do have sex on the island.
A lot of babies, though.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's strange. Well, I'm sure somebody will know. I can't believe we haven't looked at that.
And are they all actually twins? Because mostly they're not. Twins.
They're not.
You don't see them really enough to know.
Enough can't
to know
identify them.
Little blobs. All right, we got to get out of here. Tell them where they can find you.
Oh, I'm everywhere. At Stuart Starlet.
My website is TamaraCentral.com. I'm on Twitter at Tamara Berg. Find me, people.
All right. And you can find me here next time we do an AfterBuzz TV After Show for Call the Midwife. We'll talk to you next time.
Can't wait, you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Have a tea with Brandy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.